My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday night get-together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jimmy Mack coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right, game one in the books, NBA final. About as wild an ending as we've seen in a while. Not that it hung in the balance, but just the swing of the entire fourth quarter. Here to give us a recap of game one and look ahead to the rest of this series between the Celtics and the Warriors is the guy who is the lead writer or editor for NBCSports.com's coverage of the NBA. Kurt Heelan joins me here on CBS Sports Radio and is out in San Francisco for game number two tomorrow night. Kurt, how taken aback were you by the fourth quarter the other night between the Celtics and the Warriors?
A little bit. I mean, it was definitely a surprise. But, you know, we've seen so many of those Warriors third quarters where they just kind of take control of a game and run away with it. And Boston's resilience, look, I think they knew they had it, but we like to say they had it, but, like, I'd seen them drop game six against Miami at home and almost blow game seven, you know, when they had a double digit. Like, I wasn't sure they had that moment in them, and they did. They were not just resilient. They were fantastic in the fourth quarter. And I'll say it didn't even just catch us off guard. I talking to some people off the record, like, you know, off the record today at Warriors practice, the Warriors seemed a little like taken aback by just what Boston brings to the table. It's a very different vibe. I know it's taken aback, may overstate it, but it's not playing, you're not playing Dallas anymore, man. Like, this is a much more balanced and athletic team.
And part of that balance is Derek White. Now, he's a nice player. I like the moves in San Antonio. Yeah. Thought it was a nice, solid acquisition for the Celtics. Lengthens their bench a little bit. Where did this guy's not only shooting, but clutch shooting come from? I've never seen that out of Derek White before.
No, it's got still some of that Spurs in him, doesn't he? Where it just comes up. You know, the thing is, and I think if what you're feeling really good about if you're Boston, not only obviously getting a game one win on the road, but if you're going to win a series, any series, but particularly an NBA Finals against a high-level opponent, you've got to have your role players win you a game or two, right? Like, yeah. Jason Tatum will bounce back and win them a game, and there'll be a good Jaylen Brown game and what have you. And their defense will be there. But you still need a night where the other guys step up. And they got that in game one, which is it's such a confidence boost for them to start.
And Derek White is certainly that guy. Is Al Horford considered one of those guys, too? Because if it wasn't the Derek White show, it was the Al Horford show. He does start. Yeah. Do you consider him one of their role players or one of those guys who could be a difference maker that you're not expecting? Or did Boston have to put Al Horford in the, yeah, he's got to play pretty damn well for us every single game if we're going to have a chance in the series?
But he's played that way through the whole playoffs. Yes, he's a role player. But he has stepped up in this postseason and been a little more than that, and been maybe their third best player, and some nights better than that. It's again, you need a little of that, but they've been getting so much out of Horford, particularly defensively, and that's not quite the same assignment in this series where he's not, you know, matched up on the other team's star. But it does, you know, there's no Jimmy Butler or whoever, but that presence and that energy he brings look, he wants this. Like, this is his first trip to the finals in his career, and he wants the ring.
And he played damn well, making open shot after open shot after open shot in that fourth quarter. First quarter was all Golden State, specifically all Steph Curry, 21 points in the first quarter, only 13 the rest of the way. What kind of a defensive adjustment did the Celtics make to limit what Steph Curry could do against them in the last three quarters?
Yeah, that wasn't a great secret. I mean, Marcus Smart, I guess, was talking about it on the broadcast. That's what I'd seen on Twitter. I think after playing Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jimmy Butler and Drew Holiday, like all the stars of the last two rounds for the other team, you play drop coverage against those guys. You want Jimmy Butler and Giannis to shoot jumpers. And I think that yes, it's a different team, and you've read the scouting report or something, but sometimes it's just different to go out there and get on the court. And they played drop. They played back. They went, you know, they gave Curry space, man. The bigs were not up in his face. It was a higher pick than they're used to, I think, but the big men were just staying back. And the last thing you want to do is let Steph Curry get a little rhythm. Once they started showing up, though, and they also switched to, they stopped playing Robert Williams and Al Horford together. Those two, and I imagine we'll see more of that. They're not going to spend a lot of time on the court together. That really helped too, and it let them. Horford's athletic. Williams is athletic. They can show out on Curry a little bit and just not let him dominate and still not get. The good thing about Boston is they're so deep on defense. They don't get easily thrown into the chaos and scrambles that the Warriors thrive on, and it's going to be a problem. The Warriors are going to have they're not going to get some of the points they usually expect.
One of the guys who can generate that chaos for the Warriors now coming off the bench is Jordan Poole, who's done a lot of starting for them this year with injuries, certainly till Klay came back. Curry missed some time. Poole's inserted into the starting lineup was phenomenal. Now they've got him coming off the bench. He seemed a little off his game in game one.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree, and why?
He was definitely off his game. I fear, Jody, he might be off his game a lot this series. This is not a good matchup for him in some ways. I think he actually held his own defensively, but he was struggling when he got into the paint to finish and adjusting again to Robert Williams is a really good rim protector. He's an all-defensive team level player, even if he's not making the team every year. Like, he's that kind of center. It was an adjustment for them. I think offensively he can play better, Jody. But I think what you're going to see, Boston didn't really attack him or, frankly, Steph Curry as much as you would think in game one. They kind of went at Kevon Looney a lot. I think eventually as this series goes on, they're going to start targeting. Curry isn't as terrible defender, but you'd like to wear him out a little. And he's not their strongest defender either. But Poole is. Poole is their weakest, probably, defender in their rotation. And I think they're going to target him to, A, just play him off the floor, and, B, that's a place they can get some easy buckets. So I expect it's going to be a rough – this is not going to be an easy series for Jordan Poole.
You speak about adjustments, and you just gave us the rundown on what Celtic adjustment they made in-game. Hey, we got to cheat out on Curry. This isn't Giannis who we're dropping back off here. We got to be out on top of him when he uses whatever pick, however far away from the rim it is. That's a good adjustment. Now, we know Steve Kerr's a hell of a coach, and I believe they're 19-2 all-time in game ones in series. They've only lost game one twice, so they now are in a deficit position, which means adjustments are necessary. What are the top two or three that you think Steve Kerr has got to implement?
It's interesting. I think you're going to see them try to get the ball moving a little more. I think it starts, though, honestly, with their defense. They're a team that needs to be in transition. They can't. Part of what held them back to 16 points in the fourth quarter and got them in trouble was they kept taking the ball out of the basket, having to walk it up against the set Celtics defense. They're going to struggle like every team does against Boston's defense if they're set. So the Warriors talked about like needing to force some turnovers, needing to get out in transition and play with pace, needing to speed it up. But the other thing, I mean, they talked less about – X's and O's and more about focus and energy and doing it from the start. They felt that, A, they didn't execute their defense as well as they should have to start the game, and that let Horford and Derek White and Marcus Smart and guys get comfortable, Jaylen Brown get comfortable. And then when Boston showed its resilience in the fourth quarter, Celtics kind of relaxed. They're used to teams rolling over for them after those kind of third quarters, and Boston did whatever it was. They didn't match the energy, and they talked more about playing harder and playing smarter and being more physical with Boston than they did just pure X's and O's.
If I had told you before the series started that Jason Tatum was going to have a 3-for-17 shooting night and the Celtics won the game, you probably would have looked at me like I had three heads, but that's exactly what happened. Got to give Jason the nod, even though he couldn't buy a basket. 13 assists. He was the main provider of the basketball to guys in open spots for easy shots. He created opportunities for his teammates. I'm sure they're not looking to duplicate that again in the next game, but how good was Tatum's passing in game one?
It's the part of his game that's improved the most over this year, isn't it? Like, he really was. A couple of years ago, he's always idolized Kobe. He worked out with Kobe when he first came in the league, and he played like Kobe and in the bad habits of Kobe way sometimes, where it's like, you know, I got this triple team where I could pass, that I should pass out of, but you know what? I think I can hit over it. And he would just take shots and questionable shots at times. He's young. I mean, he's 24, but his maturation as all right, they're sending two guys at me. I've got to get the ball out of my hands and there's other guys on this team who can attack, and if I'm drawing two, then I can create an advantage somewhere else and make the pass. That was just something he didn't do a couple of years ago that he does so much better now, and it showed in game one.
They showed this on the broadcast the other night. I forget the exact number off the top of my head, but something like 124 finals appearance games on the Golden State roster as compared to zero for Boston. No player had ever played in a finals game before, so the advantage was to the Warriors in game one in that way, but now it means nothing because the Celtics won the first game, and despite all their inexperience, they're up 1-0. How much pressure is on the Warriors now in game number two?
They talked about needing to be desperate. Look, I will say this, and the story's going up at NBC Sports in a few minutes about how, it's up by now, how relaxed they are. They really, their practice looked like a December Tuesday practice. Like, they're blasting music and laughing and stuff. They don't get stressed out about stuff anymore. Curry talked about, hey, I had a rough night. I thought about it a lot. It came out the next day. We've got to move on. We've got to turn the page and focus. And I think that they're mentally there. But they also realize, they to a man said, like, hey, we have to win game two. I think they realize they just can't go down 0-2 and then add to Boston, by the way. That's too deep a hole to get out of against the Celtics.
And, oh, by the way, I pointed out that the Warriors were 9-0 coming into the game at home here in this postseason. But the Celtics were 6-2 on the road. Now 7-2 on the road. So give the Celtics credit. They've shown all in this run that they can find ways to win on the road. All right. Do want to get a couple other NBA questions in, non-finals related. Big story 10 days ago, Lakers made their call on their head coach. And Darvin Ham, with no head coaching experience, well-respected former NBA player and assistant coach in the league, but gets the nod to take over the Lakers. Is that an out-of-the-box hire, or they're out-of-their-mind hire?
It's a little out of the box, but it's not way out of the box. He has been in line for jobs, like the number, second or third in line for jobs in multiple cities. And he was close in Washington and a couple other places. He deserves a shot. And I'll also say, of the guys on their radar, of the guys that they were talking to, He's just the best choice. What he brings is a presence. He is a former player who is a grinder and a tough guy. And he's a bit of a player's coach. Guys like him, but they kind of weirdly, I would say if you talk to Bucks guys, they kind of feared him a little. Like, it was a nice balance. And you're going to need that if you're walking into a locker room with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, aren't you? Like, you're going to need somebody with that kind of presence. So I think it's the best hire of, like, the choices they had.
And I have talked to enough people around the league that, yeah, he gets that kind of respect. Everyone thought for sure they were going for an experienced coach, been there, done that guy. But this is, I think it is more out of the box. I know you did an article yesterday, I think it was, on Adam Silver talking about future items in the NBA. You and I have talked about this in-season tournament that the NBA has roughly planned, not 100% done yet, but is this going to happen? And if it does, is it going to work?
I think eventually it's going to happen in the next handful of years, in part because they're really looking for ways to spice up the regular season, right? Like, the regular season is long, and fans, frankly, are starting to take their cue from teams where guys are getting rested and all that. Like, the team, I don't want to say they don't take the regular season seriously, but they don't totally take the regular season seriously. So why should fans, right? I think that they've got to find a way to spice it up. The play-in tournament did that. Plus, the other thing, the real big thing, Jody, Adam Silver really wants this. He really wants to do it. And at some point, I think he'll find a system. It'll be early in the season. It'll be like in December. But they'll put something together and they'll try it. I'm cynical that that's going to work. I don't think here in the United States, those kind of mid-season tournaments are just not baked into our DNA like, you know, European soccer fans or something. I don't think it's going to work here. But we'll see. I would be surprised if we don't see it in a few years.
You and I are on the exact same page here. I'm not a big soccer guy. I'm not a soccer hater, but I'm not a soccer fan either. If it works, I'll give him credit. I'm willing to buy in and watch and get excited by it, but we'll see if it actually plays out. All right, last thing on, and I meant to ask this when we were talking about the finals. It's kind of a finals question. It's a Warriors question. You're a West Coast guy, so you've been in the arena where they won their championships, and now in the brand new, beautiful, luxurious building that they play. It seems great, but it just doesn't seem to have the same volume. And I've not been in the new building, so I can't speak to it. It's all judging via sound over the TV. Is it the same? They were 9-0 this year, so you can't say it wasn't effective. They're winning all their games. But is it the same feel? Does it have the same juice that the Oracle used to?
It's not as loud. That was an old building, the Oracle Arena, an older building with a lot of cement where sound, you were play A, it was kind of vertical. You were right on top of teams. And B, the sound just echoed in there. And this is a, you know, classically modern NBA arena with a restaurant overlooking it on one end and couple rings of suites and all that kind of stuff. So it is not as loud, but it is, I will say this, it did get loud. It's got good volume in there. It doesn't stand out the way Oracle did. When you are an Oracle, you're like, man, this is loud. Like, it's unlike any other place or any other point in the league, but it's not that way now. It's loud for a postseason game, but it feels a lot like every other arena, Jody. Like, it feels a lot inside. It's nicer and newer, but I don't think sound-wise or experience-wise it's much different than any of the modern arenas.
Little bit of a different vibe. All right, last thing. Are Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant watching the finals together? And if so, who's rooting harder for one of these two teams to lose? Durant via the Warriors or Kyrie via the Celtics?
Yeah, I'm sure Durant is watching the games. He's a basketball junkie. Like, I'm sure he is. And I'd be curious to know what his rooting interest is there. Like, he's got some friends on the Warriors. But, yeah, it looks, if they lose, doesn't this look, in some way, boosts his little legacy a little?
Yeah.
And I don't. Is Kyrie watching this, or is he doing something else right now? Like, I genuinely don't know the answer to that. If you told me he was off on a 2-week silent meditation retreat, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that.
Oh, if he's silent, I hope it's not near the edge of the earth. I just hope he doesn't fall off because we need him back for next season. Kurt, great stuff. Always a pleasure whenever you jump aboard. Thanks for the insight tonight. Enjoy the rest of the series, bud.
I will. Thank you, man.
That is Kurt Heel, and he is the editor and lead writer for NBCSports.com. His coverage of the NBA, always there on NBC, and he's always good when he jumps aboard with us. I give you the chance to chime in on the final Celtics. I don't want to say steal game one because they just flat out threw a knockout punch in the fourth quarter. A little bit of a surprise as an underdog. But can they take it to 2-0 on Sunday night? NBA certainly part of the conversation. 855-212-4227. Get on the phones with the Mac Man here on CBS Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.